simply vanish. That could be explained away as bribery or carelessness. There was a drain in the floor that would probably lead to a river, but it was only an inch in diameter. To form a shape that could slip through that would take hours. To keep enough mass to reform into human shape would require a worm about 100 feet long, and while it was turning into that grotesque creature, it would be conspicuous and vulnerable. That gave it an idea, though. It heard the Japanese guard leave, and within an hour the Filipino was snoring. It removed its right leg, with a sound like someone softly cracking his knuckles, then tearing clothes quietly. That drew no attention. The leg reformed itself into a defensive creature that looked like a pile of rags but had teeth and claws like a saber-toothed tiger's. The changeling began to reform, not into a worm, but into a snake about the size and shape of a young reticulated python. It had a square cross-section, slightly smaller than the high, small window. That took about an hour of vulnerability. It was the work of a minute, then, to merge with the saber-toothed section, which was also 6 inches in thickness. It had hundreds of gecko-like legs, so scrabbling up the wall was easy. It extended an eye through the opening and saw no one, though there were bright lights to the east. To the west, there was a drainage ditch. It slithered through the opening and down the wall, changing its color to match the dusty pink of the building. It stretched out along the length of the wall, as it had seen snakes do, and peered around the corner. So far, so good. To its right was the large square where the prisoners sleepily stepped along the undulating line to the water tap. There were plenty of guards, but they were standing or sitting with their backs to the drainage ditch. Decisions. It would take too long to change back into a human form, and besides, the snake would probably be more efficient once in the water, assuming the ditch wasn't dry. If it were intercepted on the way, that would be awkward. It was a cross between a boa constrictor and a chainsaw, so there would be no question about the outcome of an encounter between it and one or several humans, but it would have more than 10,000 witnesses. It looked around and thought, electricity. The power line that served the jail building went on to the prisoner's square. Seeing no potential witnesses, it slid up the wall and took one huge bite. Delicious taste of copper, dusty glass, and high voltage, and everything near went dark. There were shouts and firing into the air, and then flashlight beams lancing, but all of the attention was directed inward, toward the prisoners. The changeling dropped to the ground and scurried on 1,000 lizard legs to the ditch, slid in and found a few inches of sewage, and slithered south. It remembered from ordnance maps at the Bataan base that Manila Bay was about 40 kilometers south, and there were plenty of rivers through the Panga and Bulacan provinces. Once in Manila Bay, it was about 60 kilometers around the Bataan Peninsula to the South China Sea. In the 6 hours that it took to get to the bay, there was only one witness, to its knowledge, a drunken man on a narrow wooden bridge. He screamed and fled. If anyone came out into the night to check his preposterous story, the changeling would be long gone. Dawn was still hours away when the final ditch widened into a mud flat, and the changeling wormed its way into the bay. It dove down to the bottom and began the process of changing into a fish. A shark bit it in two, which was annoying, but it evidently didn't like the flavor and left the two halves alone. The changeling crawled along the bottom, crunching up bivalves and crabs, and when it had enough mass, it took the familiar shape of a great white shark itself. By then, it was in the South China Sea. It pointed itself east. Only 10,000 miles to California. Chapter 23. Apia Samoa, 24 December, 2020. The evacuation of the artifact room had taken a little longer than expected, but there were no leaks, and all of the data-gathering equipment seemed to be working fine. At 5:30, Naomi said through the monitor, "Okay, we can start the countdown." Jack nodded.
"Fire when ready, Gridley."
No one else in the room knew who Gridley was. After a few minutes, there was no temperature change at 10%. Naomi increased it to